Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Blaustein, and today we're going to be studying Nehemiah chapter 6. Chapter 5 was a bit of a tangent, describing the difficult economic situation that the Judeans faced during this time period. Chapter 6 brings our focus back to the newly finished, repaired walls surrounding Jerusalem. However, the gates hadn't yet been put up to the city. So Sambalat of Samaria and his gang, enemies since the start of this project, once again realize this is their last potential chance to intimidate Nehemiah and stop the completion of this project. In this chapter, there are three incidents that occur, each with the motive of intimidating Nehemiah and his work. The first incident involves Sambalat and Geshem, two individuals who have been named as enemies of Nehemiah from previous chapters. Acting together, they send Nehemiah a letter inviting him for a meeting in Kefirim. This was probably thought of as a neutral place, as it's halfway between the province of Judah and Samaria. In Hebrew, the Shomron. Nehemiah, however, describing this as narrator, is suspicious. He doesn't regard this invitation for a meeting as a friendly overture. Instead, he says, in verse 2, Vehema choshvim la'asot li ra'ah. They plan to do me harm. It doesn't explicitly say what exactly Nehemiah feared. Rashi's commentary suggests that Nehemiah thought that the invitation by Sanballat and Geshem to Nehemiah to meet them in this location was actually a plot to kill him in that location. Although that might seem extreme, Nehemiah's response shows that he is taking precaution. He responds that he can't leave the building project and that he's needed to stay in Jerusalem. His response can almost seem humorous. You can even interpret Nehemiah's response as using humor as a weapon, because the whole motive of Sanballat and his gang is to try to stop Nehemiah from building the wall in the first place. So Nehemiah responding that he can't leave because he's busy building the wall shows Nehemiah shrewdly mocking them. Anyway, Sanballat and his gang write to Nehemiah 4 times, each time requesting that Nehemiah meet them, and each time Nehemiah refuses. On the 5th time, however, Sanballat sends Nehemiah a different type of letter. In verse 5, Vayishlach elai Sanballat kadavar hazeh pam chamishit et na'aro v'igeret ptucha biyado. Sanballat sent me the same message a 5th time by his servant, who had an open letter with him. Igeret ptucha, an open letter. Back then, when letters were sent, an unbroken wax seal was a signal that the communication was private. The open letter indicates that Sanballat wants the contents to be publicized, and the accusation in the letter is extreme. Verse 6 shares with us the contents of the letter. Ketuv ba, it's said in it, Bagoyim nishma v'gashmu omer, ata v'hayihudim choshvim limrod. The text of the letter said, word has reached the nations and Geshem as well, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that's the reason why you are building the wall, and that you are to be their king. That was the letter. This letter conveys to Nehemiah the news that rumor has it among the neighboring provinces that Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall with messianic intentions. Today, Nehemiah is a governor, just rebuilding a wall around Jerusalem. But next month, Nehemiah's real motive is to rebel against the Persian government and to proclaim himself king. Now, years earlier, in the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah, the project of rebuilding the first temple was seen as the first step to Zerubbabel becoming the next king, as Zerubbabel was from the Davidic dynasty. Zerubbabel is described as the first step to realizing the true Geulah. It's also entirely likely that Judeans living during this time period, seeing the success that Nehemiah had, would have hoped that maybe Nehemiah, who, by the way, is not mentioned anywhere as being of Davidic descent, might be proclaimed as an independent king. And I don't think it's a coincidence that some Mamre Chazal indicate that Nehemiah is actually the same person as Zerubbabel, although the pshat of the chapters and of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah seem to suggest that they lived in very different time periods. But within the context of the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah has really cast himself and described himself as a very loyal servant to the Persian king. This accusation is basically saying that Nehemiah's motives are suspect, and this letter is really forcing Nehemiah's hand, because the letter is public. It's really a thinly veiled threat to Nehemiah that if he refuses to meet up with them And if he doesn't publicly dispel the contents of the letter and publicly say that it's a lie, it's easily going to be shared with the Persian king, and this rumor will make it impossible for Nehemiah to continue serving as loyal governor to Persia. And so Nehemiah's response is to flatly deny the letter, label it rumors, and refuse to meet up, because to do so might give some of these rumors credibility. In verse 8, Va'ashlacha elav lemor lo nihya kadavrim ha'ela asher ata omer ki milibcha ata voda'am. I sent a message back to him saying, none of these things you mentioned have occurred. They are figments of your imagination. I can't help but feel that Nehemiah's response is kind of sad, because by publicly denying the contents of the letter as a rumor, Nehemiah was basically putting himself and his fellow Judeans in the position where he is cementing their status as Persian citizens, instead of perhaps working toward any kind of real independence, any kind of complete geula, with Judah being an independent kingdom of Yisrael, and whoever their leader is being an independent king. And it's not until the Maccabim establish the Hashmonai dynasty do we have any kind of independent rule in Judah in the Second Temple era. Anyway, that was the first attempt to intimidate Nehemiah in chapter 6. Then we have the second incident. Nehemiah pays a visit to a man named Shemaiah ben Delayahu. He is described as atzur. That means under some sort of house arrest. It's unclear why exactly Nehemiah goes to pay Shemaiah a visit. Maybe Shemaiah summoned him there. It's clear that Shemaiah is some type of Navi. So maybe Nehemiah thought that Shemaiah might have a prophecy that would be relevant to him. Shemaiah's message to Nehemiah is really surprising. He tells Nehemiah that they need to go to the Beit HaMikdash and hide out there, closing the doors because, as Shemaiah puts it, people are coming to kill you. Nehemiah's response in verse 11 is not to follow Shemaiah's instructions. Instead, he says, "Va'amra ha'ish kamoni evrach? Umi kamoni asher avo el ha'ichal v'chai lo avo." I replied, "Will a man like me take flight? Besides, who such as I can go into the sanctuary and live? I will not go in." And Nehemiah then has a shocking realization. Va'akira v'hine lo elokim shlacho ki ha'nevu'a diber alai v'tovia v'sanbalat scharo. Then I realized it was not Hashem who sent him. He uttered a prophecy about me, but Tovia and Sanbalat hired him. Nehemiah realizes that Shemaiah is not a real prophet with real words of nevuah. Shemaiah is masquerading as a prophet. He's a false prophet who's been bribed by Tovia and Sanbalat to intimidate Nehemiah. How did Nehemiah realize that? According to Malbim, Shemaiah himself was a Navi who was spreading prophecies that Nehemiah would be king. He was spreading the rumors that were contained in that open letter. And adding intrigue to this whole situation and some degree of desperation, Nehemiah believed it up until the moment that Shemaiah summoned him back and told him to hide himself. Nehemiah then realized everything coming crashing down, that the whole thing was a fabrication. What king of Israel would hide like a coward? Kings like David should face their enemies, standing on the front lines, proud in front of their people, not hiding like a coward. The intention wasn't only to make Nehemiah look cowardly, but Nehemiah also saw something potentially sacrilegious about using the temple as a hideout, as Nehemiah was not a Kohen or a Levi. Nehemiah also realizes that Tovia, who was the governor of Ammon, the neighboring province of Judah, was actually related through marriage to some of the corrupt priests who were working in the temple during that time period. Nehemiah realized that if he entered the temple, it was probably unlikely that he would ever leave the temple alive, because Tovia probably had planted some of his own allies there to execute Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah realizes Shemaiah is no true prophet. And he then concludes with a prayer that's similar to some of the prayers that we've heard before, asking Hashem to remember Sanballat and Tovia's evil deeds, as well as the evil of all of the other false prophets. This incident really underscores what a confusing time period this must have been, with false prophecies swirling about, as well as this desperate hope that false prophecy, maybe Nehemiah would be king, maybe there's a more complete geulah that's in the future, people desperate to believe that maybe that could be true. Now we get to the third incident of intimidation in this chapter. We learn that the work of rebuilding the walls was completed in the astonishingly short time of 52 days. They completed it on the 25th of Elul. That means that they worked on the walls during the Israeli summer, which is the most brutal heat. Verse 16 describes, Vayhika asher shamu kol oyvenu vayiru kol hagoyim asher sivotenu vayiplu ma'od be'enehem vaydu kime'et elokeinu ne'asta hamlacha hazot. When all our enemies heard it, all the nations around about us were intimidated and fell very low in their own estimation. They realized that this work had been accomplished by the help of our Hashem. Now, this kind of does sound like a fulfillment of the prophecies of Yeshayahu, that all the nations one day will acknowledge Hashem. And it kind of does seem, in contrast to the last incident, where we had this sense of everything coming crashing down, when Nehemiah realizes that he will never restore the Davidic dynasty and become a king, it seems like maybe with this moment, finally, this is the fulfillment of everything. But here is once again where we see that the style of the book of Nehemiah builds you up to an emotional climax only to burst your bubble and leave you feeling kind of disappointed. Because in the very next verse, in verse 17, it says, Gam b'imahem marbim chare Yehuda, igrotehem hochot al tovia, v'asher letovia ba'ot alehem. In those days, the nobles of Judah were in correspondence with Tobiah, and Tobiah with them. Tobiah was Nehemiah's enemy, very much opposed to Nehemiah's building project. And we're learning that not only but does Tobiah have priests in the temple working for him, related to him by marriage, it also seems that the nobles of Jerusalem are very much swayed by him. So each of these three incidents in this chapter, each designed to intimidate Nehemiah, don't just intimidate Nehemiah. They're meant to intimidate the reader, leaving us wondering, so was this the fulfillment of Yeshayahu's prophecy? Was this really the Geula that we'd been praying for? That was the religious challenge of the people living during this time period, no doubt. This chapter emphasizes to us there were false prophets and true prophets during this time period, and they really didn't understand what to believe, who to believe. With the completion of the walls in this chapter, there is no clear sense of victory or completion, a clear moment where they're able to say, yes, Geula is finally complete. Instead, they're faced with the realization that they need to keep moving forward with a clear-eyed sense of Yirat Shamayim, recognizing that a true Navi would never demand that their leaders be cowards. A true Navi would never present to them empty words. And we've definitely seen in this chapter how Nehemiah, desperate as he might be to believe that the prophecies that he might be king are correct, is not going to fall for these cowardly tricks. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat Rose Forman, Razel Rachel Bat Aryeh Lieb, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.